Hello, sweethearts. Thanks for joining me today on Love Letters 2, the daily podcast dedicated to wonderful and unexpected things. In today's episode, continuing through our month of Muses and Makers, it is a letter to Leonardo da Vinci and Lisa Gioconda, the real-life Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa has mesmerized experts and art lovers for centuries. Considered the greatest example of Renaissance artwork, it has mystified the world with questions, rumors, and speculation. Over 500 years since its creation, the Mona Lisa is still attracting over 30,000 visitors from around the world every single day. I'm Alicia Mintz, and I invite you to join me today for this love letter to Leonardo da Vinci and the real-life Mona Lisa, coming to you right after a brief word from our sponsors. Dear Leonardo da Vinci and Lisa Gioconda, this is a love letter to possibly the most well-known artist and muse in history. For centuries, you have intrigued the world and made us all wonder who you are and what you are thinking. The portrait that you inspired and created is the most famous, mysterious, and expensive painting in the world. Your famous painting, Mona Lisa, has a life of its own. It lives beyond you both. In fact, at this point, over 500 years after it was completed, it is difficult for us to imagine that it was inspired by a real woman. But documents discovered in 2005 definitely identify you, Lisa Gioconda, as the real La Gioconda, or as the world knows you, Mona Lisa. Lisa Gioconda, you were born in Florence, Italy on June 15, 1479. You were from an old noble and aristocratic line, the Gherardini family. The eldest of seven children, you had two sisters and four brothers. You married at the young age of 15 to a much older man, Francesco del Gioconda. Francesco had been married twice before you, but both of his other wives died in childbirth. As a wife of a successful fabric merchant, you led a comfortable life. You and Francesco had five children together, but you also raised his son from his first wife, Camilla. Two of your daughters would grow up to become nuns. Your husband was an ambitious businessman and was elected as the consul of the Silk Guild, one of the city's most powerful guilds, because it oversaw the production of all silk cloth and ensured that it met strict quality standards. The silk industry was tremendously important during the Renaissance because it dominated the textile market. The process of silk production had many aspects, and Francesco was involved in all of them. He oversaw the cultivation of the mulberry trees, as well as unwinding, twisting, cooking, and dyeing the raw fibers, and all the other steps up to retailing and exporting of the final silk products. He and his family were similarly involved in the wool trade. Francesco was also an important politician in Florence and a supporter of Medici. Given the importance of his business connections and his powerful political allies, it made sense that Francesco was able to commission the great Leonardo da Vinci to paint a portrait of you, his wife. Da Vinci, you very much wanted to get the commission for painting the Battle of Anghiari, so it is possible you had thought that Francesco's political sway might help you obtain that commission. Another theory about why the great artist would accept a commission from a successful but not famous or royal family might have been due to your own father, who was Francesco del Gioconda's lawyer. Some art historians speculate that you were interested in the commission because its subject was not famous or royal. This would mean that you had the unusual opportunity to experiment with this portrait and try out some new techniques without the pressure of some of your other clients. It is known that you were not in any kind of hurry to complete the commission because you worked on the Mona Lisa for 16 years. But why is it so special, so mysterious, and so fascinating? After all, it definitely isn't the size that makes an impact. The most famous and renowned piece of art is small. only 30 inches by 21 inches, or 77 by 53 centimeters. First of all, there are no visible brushstrokes in the painting. The world has wondered for years about the enigmatic smile and expression. Mona Lisa is smiling, yet also looks so melancholy. Her gaze appears to wander off, but at the same time, to always be looking right at you. Leonardo da Vinci, everyone knows that you are one of the greatest geniuses that ever lived. And the Mona Lisa might be much more of an example of this than anyone realizes. There is much more going on in this painting than what initially appears. It is a revolution in art, not just a portrait of a woman. In this painting, you were able to blend your knowledge of art and science. It embodies both your intellect and your imagination. Infrared imaging taken in 2004 shows that you used a technique that you invented called chiaroscuro. In this technique, you contrast prominent shades of light and dark to create the illusion of a three-dimensional form. You once wrote that the eye never knows the edge of any body. You clearly wanted to portray that in this painting because there are no clearly defined edges. When looking closely, all of her features look very natural. You also used the technique sfumato, which you pioneered as well. The word sfumato means smoky. It is a blending technique to soften the transition between colors. This is why there are no sharp or unnatural lines and no hard edges. This can also explain why her expression and mood is so ambiguous. It is not fair to call it blurry or fuzzy, yet there is no distinct contrast between the edges of her features, especially when looking closely. The corners of the mouth and the eyes are perfectly blended and fade away, leaving the viewer wondering what exactly she is thinking. Leonardo da Vinci, you were the first to discover and write about aerial perspective as a scientist, and you put this knowledge to use in your masterpiece. Your understanding of depth of field and how light and shade are affected by angles and refraction was the key to you creating not just an optical illusion, but a perceptual illusion as well. The light shifts around as the viewer moves, which makes them think that she's still looking at you no matter what angle you are standing. You also used a reflective base with a semi-transparent glaze, which made Mona Lisa's flesh look real through the tricks of reflection and depth. This makes Mona Lisa look lit from within. The result is remarkably lifelike. In this portrait, Lisa, you are not wearing any jewelry, and your clothing is relatively plain. You weren't showing off any high-status symbols, which most subjects who commission portraits would normally be wearing. We may never know if this was your choice, or if it was chosen by you, Da Vinci, so there would be nothing to distract from the remarkable yet subtle detail of the face. Although the painting was likely finished by the early 1500s, it was privately owned by King Francis of France, and then by the French Republic until it was moved to be displayed at the Louvre in 1797. Interestingly, Napoleon Bonaparte saw the painting at the Louvre and declared that he had to have her. So in 1800, the Mona Lisa was moved to Napoleon's private bedroom in the Tuileries until it was returned again to the Louvre. The painting's popularity is nothing new. As early as the 1870s, Baedeker guidebooks told tourists that she was the most celebrated work of Leonardo in the Louvre. But it may have not reached full celebrity status until the 20th century due to a few key events. The first of these events happened in 1911 when the Mona Lisa was stolen and taken to Italy by Vincenzo Perugia. Right after the theft, many suspects, including Pablo Picasso, who was living in Paris at the time, were rounded up and questioned. But no answers were found, and the masterpiece was missing for over 2 years. However, during those 2 years, people still lined up to see the missing space in the Louvre where she used to be. Vincenzo was eventually arrested, and the painting was recovered. Another major event that caused the Mona Lisa to become even more famous was when it traveled to the United States in 1963. This visit made global headlines, and the visit being heavily featured on television caused billions of people to see and learn about the painting. Experts and admirers will continue to study and appreciate this incredible work of art and science. With new technologies, we are able to continue learning and are able to discover more details that lay beyond the surface of the painting. This is as it should be, because according to your own words, Leonardo da Vinci, art is never finished. Here's to you, Lisa Giocondo and Leonardo da Vinci. Today, more than 6 million people a year make the trip to the Louvre to see the legendary portrait created by you, quite possibly the most famous muse and maker combination, which resulted in the most famous painting in history. Thank you for listening to this love letter to Leonardo da Vinci and Lisa Giocondo. Until we meet again tomorrow, darlings, stay in love. Thanks for listening to Love Letters 2, a Hemlock Creatives production. Feel like showing some love to Love Letters 2? We'd love it if you tell a friend or leave us a kind review or even come and visit us on social media. You can find us at Instagram or Facebook at Love Letters 2 Podcast. You can also reach out and email us at loveletters2podcast@gmail.com or visit our website at loveletters2podcast.com. Until we meet again in the next episode, darlings, stay in love.